Turn with me in your Bibles as we continue to look at the struggles of Job. And I trust that many of you that are not struggling are indeed not struggling because we're going through this passage. Because there will come a day, will come a time that you will go through struggles, not to the maximum perhaps that Job had experienced, but you will go through some deep waters. It's at that time you'll need messages like this. You'll need to understand suffering. And so we've been considering the book of Job, the sufferings of Job. First of all, we saw Job's fate, then his faith. And this morning we're considering part of Job's feelings. Job's feelings. Because feelings affect all of us. I couldn't help but feel during the singing of that song. As I looked over the congregation, I could see that many of you were feeling the song too. It affects us. We are human beings made up of not just flesh and blood, but of emotions. And God uses those emotions, and we also can abuse those emotions, and they can destroy us. We need to understand that. Job was a man of great suffering. He was a man of great blessing until one point in his life, God allowed him to suffer the loss of everything except his wife. He went through those trials, and he stood firm. And then Satan approached God again and said, Lord, let me afflict his body. Anybody can suffer. But if you touch his body, let it really hit home and then he'll curse you. And God said, all right, you can touch his body and cause the disease, but don't you dare take his life. God allowed that great suffering to come on Job, and Job cries out with feeling. There are several passages that speak of Job's agony of spirit. He didn't just shrug it off. It wasn't just some passing trial. We're not told how long he suffered, but it is evident that it was over a long period of time. And he cries out to God in his anger. His feelings were expressed. And I want you to share those feelings this morning as we look at Job. And I want us to discover some things about feeling. Job chapter 3 is the first passage where Job begins to express those feelings to God. I'm going to look at that, and then I'm going to jump you to Psalm 61, because that also expresses what Job was going through. And Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let light shine upon it. Let darkness and shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let blackness of the day terrify it. And on he goes, and he waxes eloquent in cursing the day that he was born. Follow me all the way down to the end of the chapter as we try to sum up. Verse 23 says, why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom the Lord hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. And the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And then Psalm 61, David, also a man of troubles, expressed this psalm in the time of his trouble. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. O God, thou hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Trouble comes to all of us, sometimes unexpectedly. This week we had the sad news that Mark Dixon's father went to be with the Lord after just a few short months of cancer. In the midst of that tragedy, there's blessing. For Mark's dad came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior during those last days and gave the testimony that now I know that I belong to him. Let's pray. Father, we are people of feelings. We have feelings that we don't always understand. We have feelings sometimes that get out of hand. We don't know what to do with those feelings. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. Then there are periods in life, Lord, we seem like we're down all the time. Lord, it's in situations like that we need to understand suffering from the passages in Job. We need to understand your mercy, your goodness. We ask this morning that you would walk with Mark and Anne and their family as they go through the valley of shadow of death, and that they would truly fear no evil because you are with them. We ask that you would give them your comfort, that you would sustain them and keep them from slipping into those feelings that would overwhelm the soul. Now, Lord, we ask your anointing upon your word. We ask that you would take the bread of the word and feed us. You would give us understanding. And Lord, as the preacher of this message, I know more than anybody else I'm not a preacher. There's no good thing in me that I should declare your truth. But Lord, exalt your word. You be our preacher. You be our teacher. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have read the Iliads of Homer? The Iliad of Homer, the Odyssey. Raise your hand. I'm amazed. Great. That's wonderful. Good. I'll give you an illustration from that. And those of you that have never heard of it before ought to pick up the book or get the movie. Homer had written stories, a number of volumes of stories of ancient history, a lot of it very fictitious and based on the gods and the goddesses, but very interesting stories. In one of those stories, he depicts a warrior coming back from the war, and as he was traveling his adventures on the seas. And in one of those adventures, he was warned about a certain place and the sirens that would come from the nymphs of the sea. The sirens that sailors would hear would lure them and attract them and draw them into the rocky shoals so that their ship would be crashed upon the rocks. He was warned of this and decided that he had to go that direction, but he was going to be aware of those sirens, of that music of the sea that enticed and would destroy his life. He realized that there was something emotional that took place at that time as the sailors went through and heard that music or those sirens. And he knew also that sailors were powerless to do anything about it. And they were utterly attracted by that music and brought to their death. And so he decided that he would go through, and he asked his men to strap him to the mast of the ship. And they did so. They took him and they strapped him onto that huge mast. And he said, I will not listen. I'll try not to listen. It will not entice me. And there he passed through that sea as the sirens and the music and the odyssey of all that took place went before him. And Homer tells of the experience of going through that. And he was able to sustain himself and go through, though he felt all the emotion and all the allurements and enticements of that music. He was able to go through successfully, because he had anchored himself to the mast. I saw a picture on the TV many years ago about mountain climbers as they were climbing to the highest peaks. It was a rough trip. It's kind of tough. Going straight up the walls of a mountain, suffering the blows of the wind, slipping and falling and going up the ragged edges and having bleeding hands. And they showed these men climbing the mountain, and then the clouds began to close in around the mountain. You realize there was a storm coming, and there wasn't a blooming thing they could do about the storm. Here it came. And there they were out in the middle of everything on the side of a mountain clinging with their fingers. How would they ever survive? And we watched as the men took their nails, their spikes, and drove them into the side of the mountain. And then they took their hooks and hooked it on, and with their belts of security and lines, they made themselves a little nest and put their sleeping bag that hung from the nest there, and they climbed inside their little cocoon. And there they dangled during the whole storm. The storm passed by, and they came out of their cocoon and continued their journey. The secret was that they were anchored to the rock. No one could guarantee them there would be no storm while they made the climb, but they had learned a secret that you can anchor yourself to the rock and go through anything. That's the story of Job. The story of Job is the story of a man that went through every obstacle that's conceivable to our minds, every stress and every frustration, every loss, and every emotion. And yet Job found himself anchored to a rock that was higher than he, and he was able to endure. It's not a heroic story about Job, but it's an illustration about how we too can go through whatever trials come our way because we are anchored to the rock. And that's my message this morning. Maybe I should just conclude here and we can all go home. And that message is that you, no matter what the storms that come your way, no matter what the winds that howl and blow and batter upon your life, you can go through it. It doesn't matter how deep, how rough, how terrible, how awesome it is. If you're anchored to the rock, the storm will come and the storm will go, and you will remain. But if you're not anchored to the rock, you'll be ruined. Job is a man that expresses his feelings to us. And I think it's very important. I'm going to just briefly describe his feelings, and then we're going to discover some six nails that he used, six spikes that he used to hang onto the rock. And those of you that keep notes in your Bible or your notebook, and I'm glad that some of you do. I noticed somebody left a Bible a couple of weeks ago, and I got to sneak through your notes, keeping good notes, better than mine. Well, write those notes in your Bible. Write these six nails, these six spikes upon which we need to anchor ourselves to the rock. And when the storm comes, if it hasn't come already, you'll be able to stand. But Job expresses some feelings to us, and we'll go into those deeper next week. But feelings that were horrible. Some of those feelings are these. First of all, he wanted to die. When it says he cursed his day, he was wishing he had never been born. He was saying, God, I wish you had blotted me out. I wish you could turn the clocks of time back and wipe me off the face of the earth that I'd never been born. So deep was his hurt. But he expressed that feeling to God, not worried that God was going to punish him for it. The second feeling he had was the feeling of no one caring. Obviously, his friends made that very clear. They criticized and they severely beat him down and kicked him and said, hey, something's wrong with your life. And those friends that were supposed to stick closer than a brother ended up just sticking him with barbs from their sharp tongues. Job felt the feeling that God had abandoned him. God didn't answer anything. Do you realize that all through this, which may have taken a number of years to go through, Job received not one word from the Lord, not one comforting whisper, not one revelation from the Word of God, because at that time he didn't have the Word of God. And Job went through that trial feeling like God had abandoned him. Job went through the feeling of hopelessness, despair, and pessimism. At one place he says, there's more hope for a tree than for me. Job went through the feelings of anger, just like we do. There were times when he wanted to come up to God and plead his case. And the evidence of the scripture is that he wanted to stand right before the Lord and say, Lord, it's not fair what you did to me. It's not fair that you took away all my family and my things. It's not fair because you never told me what you were going to do. You never asked me about it. Lord, it's just not right. But what can I do? He was angry, feeling helpless and vulnerable. And finally, his last feeling was that feeling of the temptation to suicide. Yes, Job had that temptation. His wife planted it in his mind. She said, curse God and die. Well, how do you do that? Do you just sit down someday and say some curse word to God and roll over and die? No. You curse God and then you take your life. Job suffered through that emotion, that deep human emotion, that storm, that tempest, that wild wind that blew against his life. And he expressed the feeling to God and said, "Oh God, I wish you would wipe me off the face of the earth. I wish you would strike me dead right now. I wish somebody else would do it, Lord, because I feel like it's a hopeless life. I'm better off dead than living." And amazingly enough, God did not criticize him for those feelings. And just as God knows your feelings when you're going through troublesome times, he understands our feelings. He remembers that we're made of dust. And it's okay to have feelings. He understands that we're going to be tempted, we're going to be angry, we're going to be frustrated, we're going to feel alone and think that he doesn't care sometimes. The feelings are okay. As long as we're anchored to the rock and don't let loose. I want to share with you six spikes that anchored Job to the rock. Job didn't let his feelings control his life. Just because he felt bad and he was in a terrible situation, he didn't give up. He anchored himself to the rock. He tempered those feelings with reason and reality. And these are the six things, and I'll try to be brief in this. The first nail that he anchored to the rock was a nail of reality that said, it's okay to feel bad. It's okay to feel bad. Job understood that God knew him from beginning to end. He knew all about him, knew every emotion, knew what he was going through, even before he ever went through it. And it was okay to express frustration to God. You look through the Psalms and you'll find that David had the same attitude. It's okay to feel bad. It's all right to express what's going on inside to God. As a matter of fact, you better do it. Because if you don't, God already knows the feeling is there. It's just you saying, "Lord, it's not there." And what a shame it is that sometimes we go through our trials and we try to pretend that we really don't hurt. We try to pretend that we're really not angry and frustrated that God didn't answer prayer. Or we're not angry that God picked us and not somebody else. And God says it's okay to feel those feelings. In Job chapter 7, in verse 11, he says, "Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the agony of my spirit. I will complain in bitterness of soul." Sounds like me sometimes when my wife says, "Cheer up," and I'm feeling bad. There are times when you've got a right to feel bad. And if you're feeling bad for a real reason, go ahead and feel bad. I mean, somebody died, you better feel bad about it. Oh, I get so upset when I hear Christians say to somebody, "Don't cry." Why? God gave us the emotion of tears to express. And God understands the tears. He gave it to us so that we could have that release valve and say to him, "Lord, I hurt. And yet I'm troubled because I don't see God's people crying and seeking him or crying out in their hurt. They won't allow themselves to flow the tears and express the real pain that's there. They cover it up and pretend like, it's okay. It's all right that my wife died. I didn't mind. It's okay that the Lord took my child." What hypocrisy. God wants us to express the hurt. To be honest that it's really there. Job goes on in chapter 10 and verse 1, and he says, "The soul is weary in my life, and I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in bitterness of soul." There he goes again. Here he goes. He's ready to rip. He's like a dump truck ready to let the load down. He said, "I got to say it to somebody, and you're my best friends, and you're going to hear me out." And he lets it loose. Ka-plunk. And there's all the burden. And the Lord says, "Okay, you got to let it hang out." And you know, brothers and sisters, there's times when we've got to let it hang out to somebody. Now, I'm not expecting you to come into church and because you're feeling bad, you go up to everybody and badmouth them. Or just because you feel like telling somebody, "Shut up," every time you walk up to the preacher, you say, "Oh, shut up." Or you walk up to somebody else and say, "You're ugly today." That's not the kind of honesty God's looking for. That's not the issue. God wants you to talk about your feelings. He wants you to express those feelings to him and perhaps to someone else and several other people that can help you bear that burden. And oh, how we clam up. We're afraid that somebody will think less of us. It's okay to feel bad. That's the first anchor to the rock. The second anchor, the second nail that Job used to anchor himself to the rock was that reality that feelings and circumstances will change. He knew that as a truth. Feelings and circumstances will change. And I don't care who you are, your feelings change and your circumstances change. We're like people that are out in the ocean and we are tossed by the waves, we are moved by the tides, we cannot put down an anchor and be steadfast. And I do get upset with preachers that say, hey, you ought to be a steady Freddy. And you ought to be on an even keel. You never should have any ups and you never should have any downs. Garbage. Those preachers that say that have their ups and their downs. And we all know it. Your feelings and circumstances are going to change in life. There are going to be some days you get up and you don't feel well. There was a day this past week that I got up, and I don't know what's happening with the weather, but I know what's happening with my body. I've got arthritis in my neck. And when I get up after laying on the wrong side, and it's a rainy day like this morning, you know what I want to do? Yeah, I want to go back to bed. This morning was one. I just like to lay there and die sometimes. And I empathize with others that go through pains that are real pain. And the feelings that they have. And there are some mornings you get up and you want to roll over and you just want to say, oh, Lord, I don't want to get up. Your feelings change, your circumstances change. Now, tomorrow the sun may come out and I wake up, it's my day off. Oh, I don't even care if there's a pain in my neck. My day off, I can get up all right. Or I can lay in bed as long as I want. I don't have to grumble. The feelings change and the circumstances change. It's part of life. The weather changes almost daily. But that shouldn't control us. We should just recognize that that's part of nature. It's part of the nature of things that God created. He created you to change and the world to change with you. Your health is going to change. Your wealth is going to change. The weather's going to change. Your wife's going to change. Your husband. Your kids are going to change. Everything changes. Do you know anything in this life that doesn't change? It does. When I first came to this church, I was upset because I would stand up here and try to preach to crooked pews. And being a perfectionist, I cannot preach to crooked pews. And I would watch every Sunday as they kind of made the S turn. And I'm sitting here, standing here preaching, and I'm looking down and just saying, my mind, my second part of my mind is saying, hey, that's not straight. After the service, go over there and straighten that. Bring that one in line with this one. And boy, it just bothered me because those things changed. So I decided I was going to change that and I was going to fix it down so it didn't move anymore. And I went through and I tacked them down with nails. Every one of the pews. Tacked down with nails in a straight line, measured. Perfect! Nobody's going to move these pews anymore! You know what I noticed last week? Some idiot moved the pews. Things change. No matter how hard you try to make them right and perfect and just the way they ought to be, they change. And Job knew that, and he said, Lord, I knew that you gave me good things, and I knew also that bad things were going to happen. Did you hear him this morning? He said that. He said, the thing I feared, it did happen. I knew it was going to change. I knew it was too good to be true. He understood that life was changeable. God gives good and God gives bad. Things change. Some of you are going through some tough troubles. Wait a while. Things change. I know the negative thinkers just said, yeah, they can get worse. The positive thinkers said, yeah, the sun will come out tomorrow. Remember Annie? The song, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar. Yep, the sun does come out. And Job knew that. He anchored his soul to that. He said, Lord, I know that everything in this life changes. And it's okay. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to let that control me. Yes, I feel bad when they change. I feel bad when things go wrong. But that doesn't have to control me. Your arms are too short to box with God. Let things change. The third nail that he used to anchor himself into the rock was that reality of understanding that we really don't own anything here. We really don't own anything here. Oh, if we could only hang on to that one. If we could only take that spike and drive it into the rock and say, I own nothing. Everything I have belongs to God. Job said, naked I came into this world and what? Naked I'm going out. Hey, guys, it's true. No matter how we try to save money, build a nice house, and clothe ourselves in the best, we're going out of here naked. You can't take anything with you. And Job said, as he looked back on all of those things that he lost in one day, he said, Lord, it's okay because naked I came in, naked I leave. You taught me that. I depended on those things. But I understand that life is more than the abundance of things that a man possesses. And Jesus taught the church, and he says to us, your life is more than the things you own. Don't put your weight and your dependence on those things, because they will change and you will lose them. You may lose them before you die. Naked you came in, and naked you're going to leave. It's a fact of life. So don't be surprised if you're naked somewhere along the way. And you lose. You go bankrupt. You lose your house. It happens to a lot of people. The fourth nail that Job used to stake himself to the rock was the attitude that truth, that reality, that life is tough all over. Life's tough all over. My wife hears me say that a lot, because it is tough. Job says it this way: man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You take a hammer and smack it against a rock. What are you going to get? Well, you're either going to get sparks flying upward, or you're going to get chips in the eyeball. Because that's the nature of things. And Job learned that early, and he said, hey, trouble is part of this life. This thing is not perfect, and it's not going to be perfect. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble. And Jesus said that to his disciples. He said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. And yet we go around preaching to everybody, you can have a life that's full of meaning and no troubles whatever. It's a lie. God said, in the world, you'll have trouble. As long as you live your days upon the earth, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to go bump in the dark. You're going to hurt. You're going to get sick. You're going to have troubles all the way. Doesn't mean every day, all the time. But you should not be surprised when trouble comes. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, Job starts to talk about the troubles again. And he says, man is born of woman and is a few days, and he's full of trouble. He's full of trouble. I don't know if he was saying it was because he was born of woman. The man is full of trouble. There's trouble all around us. You want troubles? They're everywhere. And everybody's got them, some to greater and lesser degrees. But wait a while, things will change, and your troubles will change. They'll either get bigger or smaller. And Job says, I'll nail myself on that, because God already said to expect it. Life's tough all over. Don't expect an easy life. Don't expect it. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. Anyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Expect it. The fifth nail that he used to anchor himself into the rock, Christ Jesus, is that truth that nobody is going to get out of this thing alive. I like that. In Job 14, verses 5 to 7, he explains it this way. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass over. You got that? He says, God determined how many days you're going to live, and sooner or later, you are going to die. And yet we run our lives as though that were not true at all. That somehow we're going to get out of that. Somehow we're going to figure out the fountain of youth. In some way, we're going to get our body frozen and put away somewhere so that when they get better medicines, they'll raise us up and we'll be able to live. Mm-mm. Job says, God has the days numbered for everybody. Boy, I'd love to walk around and just point to everybody this morning and say, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. And some of you don't look like you have many left. But don't let that surprise you, because some of you that look the most youthful have less time to live than others. And Job made that a fact of life, an honesty before God. He knew that, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to get out of this thing alive. There is going to be a day that I'm going to suffer death, and I'm going to be afflicted by death, because my wife's going to die, my children are going to die, my mother and father are going to die, somebody's going to die near me. I think if we explore and surveyed the congregation, many of you have not experienced a death of someone real close to you, because we isolate ourselves. And yet someday, it will happen. Sure as shooting. You can't get away from it. You're not going to get out of this thing alive. Now, that's barring Jesus coming back again, but that's an exception. But every one of us, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So why do we work so hard to try to live and live and live? Red's got it figured out. He's going to live till 90. I got it figured out. I'm going to live to about 42. But you know, I really don't care. Care for my family. Care for what they have to go through. But I know that someday it's all over. Someday this turkey's going to be carved up. Someday somebody's going to put a period to the end of the sentence, and this is it. And God says your days are numbered, there's a bounds, and you can't prevent it. God is going to draw the line and say nobody goes beyond. Your day has come. And Job said, that's true for me. And if God is preparing a day for me to die, okay. God took my children because there was a day for them to die. It's okay. Nobody gets out alive. The sixth nail, and the final one, that Job used to nail himself to the truth of God's word, to the unchangeableness of God, is just that. That God never changes. Everything else that we talked about changes. Everything moves in life, but there's one thing that's steadfast, and that's why he's got the nails and he anchors himself to the rock. Because there's only one thing you can really depend on, and that's God. He never changes. Everything around me can change. And Job says, God can let my family be taken from me. He can take my goods. He can take my cars. He can take everything else that I have. I can lose my house. I can lose my wealth. I can lose my health. But there is one thing in all of that that never changes. And that is God. He has not changed. And that's what kept Job through it all. He was hanging on to the nail, and he said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he hasn't abandoned me. Yes, I feel that way sometimes. I feel like he abandoned me. I feel sometimes like he doesn't know what he's doing. I feel sometimes like other people don't care and life is not worth living. But I anchor myself to him because he is the changeless one. If I don't hope in him, I have no hope at all. He is the rock that cannot change. He is the same. His years fail not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change at all. And no matter what your trouble is, tomorrow you may face some awesome trial that you never expected. But remember this, in the middle of your trial, God hasn't changed. He never changes, never moves. His love for you, his concern for you, his care for you hasn't changed either. And Job recognized that and hung on right to the end. God is not changing his attitude toward you. His care for you is not changed. It's just that all these other things are true also. And God is doing something big in your life. Let me ask you this morning, what are you hanging on to? What's your life anchored to? Are you anchored to a bunch of trivial garbage that the world throws your way? Smile. Be happy. Whistle while you work. Are you anchored to the rock, the changeless one? Are you willing to do like Job and face the reality of life that it's okay to feel bad, that circumstances change, that we don't really own anything? That life is tough all over and that nobody gets out of this thing alive. And that God never changes. If you do, you'll be able to stand the storm. You'll be fixed firmly to the rock that's higher than you are. Let's pray. Father, we know that we don't always hang on to you. We don't always cling to you as Job did. We weary. We get tired of hoping and trusting and believing that you're good, that you don't fail. But teach us, Lord, just to rest as we cling to the rock. And Lord, as the psalmist said today, when our heart is overwhelmed within us, lead us to the rock that's higher than we are. Help us not to depend on our feelings. Help us not to be moved to and fro and up and down with every kind of feeling that comes our direction. But help us to anchor onto you, Lord. For you don't change. And your purpose for us has never changed. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.